The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Soa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, engineers kick against construction of asphalt plant by Brazilian company working on Kwame Nkrumah Circle interchange on health grounds. Minister for the Interior calls for laws to regulate activities of recalcitrant refugees. Ghana Health Service begins nationwide polio immunization today. Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection closes down 81 orphanages. Ukrainian President seeks U.S. support over Russian aggression, and polls due to open in Scotland in crucial independence referendum today.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Engineers of the Ghana Highway Authority and the Electricity Company of Ghana are kicking against the construction of an asphalt plant by the Brazilian company working on the Kwame Nkrumah Circle interchange project. The engineers say the plant has long-term health implications, including cancers and menstrual complications. They accuse the EPA of double standards because it wrote a letter dated August 6 this year, refusing permits for the construction of the plant, citing health hazards, but has suddenly taken a U-turn on the matter. Dose Tofia is union chairman of the Ghana Highway Authority.
The asphalt plant will give us cancer and the rest. So we are saying that we should cite the asphalt plant away from the site that DTT have given them. In fact, our people and our neighbors, other engineers, have raised concern about this asphalt plant. So we are only begging them to go and cite the asphalt plants where the NY people cited this, so that at least it will give us some sort of relief. They should consider our health issues and then try to cite the asphalt somewhere else.
To produce a letter from the Environmental Protection Agency which indicated that they will not permit the company from siting the asphalt plant. Today, this same EPA is now siding with the company, and they are in charge of permit. What are you going to do?
When we realize that they are taking down those standards, then it looks as if they are not trying to help our cause. And our neighbors from the water sewage, the VIP, and the other waste management engineers, who all come together and protect against whatever they wanted to do. And then it means we have to organize and then stop them from planting the asphalt plant in the area.
Dulce Tofia is union chairman of the Ghana Highway Authority. In a related development, the Ghana-Lebanon Islamic Senior High School located in the area has also opposed the construction of the asphalt plant. Mohamed Mumuni is special aide to the headmaster of the school. He tells George Asikri that the plant poses a serious health threat to the 700 students of the school.
My attention has been drawn to the fact that they are going to put a plant that may emit certain things into the atmosphere that is dangerous to human health. As a teacher, I've seen that if such a plant is there, it will harm the children, not today, but in future. I am reliably informed that the emissions will have a long-term effect. So if we are bringing our future leaders today up, and they are going to start getting cancer in future, where lies our fate? So that is why I want to vehemently say no, that the plant should not be put there at all. They should go ask it close to the place, and it's dangerous to their health.
Have you in any way communicated this potential danger to the PTA, granted that the people ignore your request and go on to construct the plant?
So I'm yet to communicate to the PTA.
Mohamed Mumuni is special aide to the headmaster of the Ghana-Lebanon Islamic Senior High School.
The Ghana Refugee Board has put before the Minister of the Interior, Mark Yungu, an endless list of challenges facing the organization. This happened during a working visit by the sector minister to the board to familiarize himself with agencies under his ministry. The minister noted that despite the challenges confronting the board, it has been able to keep the organization running. He expressed grave concern about malpractices indulged in by some refugees and called for laws to be applied in such situations. Samuel Bano and Aurelia Kandi have the details.
Statistics from the Ghana Refugee Board indicate that there are about 20,736 refugees currently seeking asylum in Ghana. After listening to the concerns and operations of the board, the Interior Minister Marco Yungu lauded the efforts of the board and tasked them to explore other avenues of revenue generation. He said, though the country is a safe haven for refugees, they must abide by the laws of the country.
Ghana has suddenly become a very safe haven for refugees because our country is safe, our country is secured, and our country receives very warmly these refugees, our hospitality, and all these make Ghana a very favorable destination for refugees. But I think that we too should be very careful about the way we accept. We need to educate our refugees to be law-abiding. We have laws in this country, and I think that the fact that they are refugees doesn't mean that they should flout our laws with impunity. They must respect our laws.
Chairman of Ghana Refugee Board, Kenneth Driasa, said the organization has started issuing residence permits to refugees. He called on the minister to help address their challenges.
We are currently undertaking a structural review exercise, and ultimately our projection is that we shall offload the staff salaries onto the SSSS in the nearest future. The staff is supported by allowances. Actual fact, we need support from the state.
The Minister of the Interior, Marco Yungu, assured the refugees that challenges facing the board will be over soon.
Samuel Bano and Aurelia Kandi filed that report.
The ECG is expected to come out with a timetable for power rationing next week. This is dependent on the amount of power that is provided by Gridco. Public Relations Officer of ECG, Eric Asante, is asking the public to brace themselves for more frequent power outages.
What it means is that definitely people would have to go off more than the number of times they are currently going off, or the number of days they used to go off maybe twice within a week. They would have to maybe go off more than that. And there should be a plan in place for everybody. And I think my company, Electricity Company of Ghana, where I work, we are liaising with the Ghana Grid Company to know the amount of megawatts that is involved here so that we can frame the amount that we are shedding. Then we will be able to, by the end of this, we come out with a timetable. The most important thing customers want now is to know the times with which they'll be going off so that they can plan ahead and know when to expect power and when not to expect.
What is preventing the ECG to bring out the timetable? Because the load shedding, you know, has begun for quite some time now.
Yeah, that is a good question. And obviously, looking at the situation that we find ourselves in now, coming out with a timetable, it is important for you as the utility to be able to know the exact amount of megawatt that is being shed before you can go ahead and put out in the public domain the timetable with which customers will use as a guide. And the amount of megawatt that was being shed was between the range of 250 to 300 megawatts, which sometimes even go below that. So once you don't have the same amount of megawatts you are shedding, it becomes difficult to put out in the public. Now that we are certain about the amount of megawatts that will be shedding on daily basis or on weekly basis, we will be able to come out with a timetable very soon. So it was just about how much we are supposed to shed, and that was not certain. And now that we are certain about the amount of megawatts, looking at the intensity of the load shedding that we will be grappling with, it's important that we give a guide for our valued customers to go through them.
Okay, so from where things stand now, how long or do you think the average Ghanaian will get electricity for a day?
Yes, what we were experiencing previously was that when customers, customers go off with at least, if there's no other hitch, they go off twice within the week, and in the mornings and in the evenings as they rotate. When you go off in the morning, you come on again, and the next day you go off again, and you are giving a grace period of 24 hours. I think the intensity, I would want to hold on now, but definitely they will not be going off twice within the week. It will be more than that because definitely the amount of megawatts we are shaving has increased. But I would hold on for the timetable to come out by the end of this weekend. I believe we would have another interview, and maybe I would explain exactly how it looks like.
Public Relations Officer of ECG, Erica Santi.
The Ghana Standards Authority says the introduction of the Ghana Conformity Assessment Program, GCAP, is not meant to introduce new pre-ship inspection rules and impose new fees on importers. It is rather to help ease congestion at the ports and promote honest trade practices. At a meeting to allay the fears of importers and to disabuse the misconception they have about the program, the Deputy Executive Director of the Authority, Kofi Nagate, said the move will prevent the importation of substandard products that are detrimental to the health of the people and the environment. It tags importers to ensure that all products under the GCAP program are accompanied by certificates of conformity from the service providers appointed by the Ghana Standards Authority. Priscilla Appiah and Richlof Dejomi have filed this report.
The Ghana Conformity Assessment Program, GCAP, is aimed at ensuring that specific products imported into the Ghanaian market meet the requirements of the technical regulations and standards set by the Ghana Standards Authority. The Deputy Director at the Authority, Kofi Nagate, said Ghana, being a member of the World Trade Organization, WTO, the introduction of the GCAP is in line with the requirements for WTO. He said the Ghana Standards Authority has undertaken an awareness campaign in all 10 regions to sensitize stakeholders in the trade sector to the project. He said when a consignment gets into the country for the certificate of conformity, it gives the Ghana Standards Authority the assurance that the product is up to standard.
In order to prevent so many things happening at the ports, we want to say that the conformity should be done in the country of origin, just to make sure that it conforms to standards. When goods fail after testing, they are left at the harbor. They are either to be destroyed or to be re-exported. Destruction is not easy, especially when burning or such things will affect the environment. When you ask the people to do the re-exportation, they abandon the goods and go away because they think re-exportation is also a lot of problems. So this is a way by which you can reduce clearance time, because when you count the COC, we don't need to sample and test your product before they are cleared. Before a consignment is loaded on a vessel coming to Ghana, that consignment should have gone through the conformity assessment program and then a COC is issued. So to assure that that consignment meets the expectation of our standard.
The project coordinator of the conformity assessment, Francis Bullin, talks about the measures to check clearance of goods at the port.
If the product conforms to the standard, a COC with a certificate of conformity will be issued. If the product doesn't conform to the standard, a non-conformity report will be issued. Now, this non-conformity report is sent across the entire network. So GSA will be notified, the service providers will be notified, the exporter will be notified. We are having discussions with GRA that during the clearance processes, if they don't sign the COC, you cannot proceed to clear your item. The Shippers Honest Association are also being sensitized. Make sure that someone defile the process and end up shipping something. Then on arrival, that product will be subjected to the rigorous full testing by GSA, and the applicable fee will be paid, and then the penalty, which is in discussion from Parliament, will also be applied.
Bureau Veritas and Societe Generale de Surveillance have been appointed by the Ghana Standards Authority to implement the Ghana Conformity Assessment Program, GCAP, outside Ghana.
Priscilla Appia and Richlof Dejomi filed that report.
Meanwhile, the country's importers are kicking against the introduction of the Certificate of Conformity by the Ghana Standards Authority, GSA. Speaking to journalists after meeting with the Committee on Trade and Industry of Parliament, the president of GUTA, George Kwekufuri, said what the GSA is introducing is being done currently by destination inspection companies.
The issue of Ghana Standards Authority's directive as to the issuance of certificates of conformity, to some of us, we see it as complication of functions. For some 15 years back, we have the pre-shipment inspection of goods out there, which had been abolished by government, and now it is the destination inspection companies which has taken over the functions of the PSIs, i.e. the pre-shipment inspection company. And so if GSA comes out to give a directive that they are also going to do the same thing out there, let's take note that it is pre, it is not post. And so once it's pre, we the business community sees it as a fishermen inspection that is going to be reintroduced out there. And if it's done, in addition to the desperate inspection companies, that means we are going to have duplication of functions, which we want to, as it were, avoid. Number two has to do with charges and levies, where the GSA were telling the whole Ghanaian community that, oh, there are not going to be any charges associated with the function that the SGA. And let me tell you, historically, when the fishermen inspection was in place, it was SGS, that is the Secretary General de Surveillance, and Cotecna, another inspection companies who were engaged in some of these inspection aspects. So now, if GSA turns around to contract the same people, then it looks as if by the experience that they have in terms of fishermen inspection, they are engaging the services of these two companies to go out to go and do that. Again, Ghana Standard Authority have their functions all right, which they are performing at the various points of entry, which we have no challenge. Because if you bring in the goods, they sometimes require you to provide some of the products for testing and others. And so for us, we don't see why they are still contracting the services of SGS and then Viva to go and do those same works.
President of GUTA, George Kwikufuri, the committee was optimistic that Parliament will intervene on their behalf, having heard the apprehensions.
Because the institution in which that is in question were there, also they asked them to explain why GCAP they are bringing. They've given us, we the importers, opportunity to also tell them why we think that policy should not come through. And from all protesters, I would say from our side, we were happy and come back from. We are just hoping that they would come out with their official committee and we all hear from us. But indeed, we really push our issues to prove them why we think that policy comes on the 1st of October should not come.
President of GUTA, George Kwikufuri.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Engineers kick against construction of asphalt plant by Brazilian company working on Kwame Nkrumah Circle Interchange on health grounds. Minister for the Interior calls for laws to regulate activities of recalcitrant refugees. And still to come, Ghana Health Service begins nationwide polio immunization today. Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection closes down 81 orphanages. Ukrainian president seeks U.S. support over Russian aggression, and voting has begun in Scotland in crucial independence referendum.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The Bank of Ghana has maintained the policy rate at 19%. The governor of the bank, Dr. Kofi Wampa, in a presentation to the media on developments in the economy, cited positive outlook in the general macroeconomic environment to leave the rate unchanged. He said the latest forecast shows that inflation is likely to stay slightly above the revised target of 13%± 2% by the end of the year. Dr. Wampa said the expected inflows from the Eurobond and the Cocoa syndicated loan will provide liquidity on the foreign exchange market.
Fiscal pressures and volatilities in exchange rates continue to pose challenges to the economy. This notwithstanding, the latest numbers suggest some stability in the foreign exchange market as the earlier policy measures, including the cumulative 300 basis points increase in the monetary policy rate so far this year, the 200 basis points increase in the cash reserve ratio, as well as the narrowing of the net open positions of the bank, work through the system. Also, the government's fiscal consolidation efforts are expected to be strengthened under the IMF program, which will also provide additional balance of payment support. In assessing the inflation outlook, the committee observed that inflation is expected to peak in the near term. The latest forecast showed that inflation is likely to stay slightly above the upper band of the revised target of 13%± 2% by end 2014. However, inflation is expected to move within the band in the second half of 2015, barring any adverse shock. Given these considerations, the committee decided to keep the monetary policy rate unchanged at 19%. The growth outlook is generally positive based on expected higher cocoa and oil output. In addition, the gas production, which is expected to come on stream from the later part of the year, will help address some of the challenges in the energy sector.
Dr. Wampa said the central bank survey on consumer and business confidence in the economy improved during the second quarter.
Bank of Ghana's CIEA, that's the composite index of economic activity, for the second quarter of 2014 suggests improved activity relative to the same period in 2013. The index registered a year-on-year real growth of 10.8% at the end of June 2014, compared with a growth of 3.3% for the corresponding period in 2013. The main drivers of improved economic activity for the period under consideration were domestic VAT and DMV's credit to the private sector. The bank surveys of consumer and business confidence reflected mixed sentiments. The consumer confidence index improved during the August survey as the index moved to 77.5 from 76.1 in May 2014. The survey respondents were mildly positive about economic prospects. The business confidence index, on the other hand, indicated continued softening in sentiments. The index dipped from 82.8 in March to 78.6 in June 2014. Among the perceptions cited were low prospects for improved capital outlay, sales and revenues, negative sentiments on industrial growth, and heightened inflation expectations.
U.S. Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Kofi Wampa.
The Ghana Health Service will today begin vaccinating children under 5 years against poliomyelitis. The house-to-house vaccination is necessary because although Ghana has not recorded any case since 2002, neighboring countries like Nigeria and Cameroon have recorded cases. This year alone, 146 polio cases have been recorded globally, with endemic countries recording 128 cases, whilst non-endemic countries recorded 18. The program manager of the expanded program on immunization, Dr. George Bonsu, says Ghana is at risk as any one case reported has infected more than 200 children. He therefore asked parents to make their children who are less than 5 years old available for immunization.
Even though Ghana has not had a case in the year 2000, but our children are still at risk. Because there are cases of polio virus in Nigeria, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea. And in this era of frequent travel, one is a case in nowhere. It puts the whole West African region at risk and the whole world. Ghana is doing this alongside other West African countries. It's a synchronized campaign over the whole West Africa for the period. In this era of travel, a case in Nigeria can reach Ghana within a short time. So what we can do to make sure that we give our children the required protection and immunity. And that immunity can be given only by giving them the polio vaccine. And when they are protected, we can prevent them from getting poliomyelitis.
Now, with these reported cases in these regions, what is the rate at which they are being reported?
As of 2nd of September, at least we've had 6 cases of polio in Nigeria, 5 in Equatorial Guinea, 5 in Cameroon, and other countries around the world, in Pakistan, Afghanistan. And one thing about polio is that for every one case of paralysis that you see, there are about 200 cases of children who became infected and never got paralyzed, who are also capable of transmitting the disease. So it's not an issue about 5 cases in Nigeria, but it's 5 times the number of children who were infected but didn't get paralyzed but are still from the disease. So it's still a global challenge.
So how is this immunization going to be? Is it going to be the normal way where people go to houses or where they position themselves at vantage points for people to go and get immunized?
I mean, from 18th to 20th Saturday, we are targeting 5.7 million Ghanaian children under 5 years. We are going to move from house to house, market to market, lorry park to lorry park. We have trained about 50,000 volunteers, and they will be backed by supervisors. But then we shall not leave out the other place, like the lorry station, market place, where you know people will convert with their children.
Program manager of expanded program on immunization, Dr. George Bonsu.
81 out of the 120 orphanages in Ghana have been closed down because of poor welfare of inmates. Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Anoyi Litha, said a large number of the orphanages were operating illegally and putting the lives of the children at risk. She noted with concern that the laws on the processes of adoption were weak, resulting in most of the children being trafficked under the guise of adoption. The minister said this when she appeared before the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament in Accra, which is considering the performance audit report on selected ministries, departments and agencies. Anoye Lisa said the ministry is currently investigating why about 300 children were adopted into a particular country, suggesting a high level of child trafficking. However, she did not disclose the country.
The Executive Council of the National Association of Local Authorities of Ghana, LALAG, has met with its subcommittees to draw up an action plan for 2014-15. The plan is to aid the national executive to execute programs that would project NALAG to advance advocacy of local governance in the country. The president of NALAG, Alhaji Mohammed Doku, tasked the subcommittees to develop effective mechanisms that would make NALAG a success. He also urged them to be proactive and innovative in their line of duty.
The executive director of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim, has expressed strong reservations about expenditure on the accommodation of the Shraj Commissioner. He said it is unfortunate Shraj, which should lead the way in anti-corruption issues, is rather perpetuating the vice. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Azim said in future an independent body should examine the house to see if it is habitable or not. Also, the president should deviate from the norm of appointing officers for state institutions. It should rather advertise vacant positions and appoint dedicated and committed people. Mr. Azim spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
To renovate a house that somebody was living in doesn't require 1 year. So for you to spend 3 years staying in a place at an extra cost because a house that somebody has been living in that was habitable is questionable. In other words, we're spending double for the same service.
Finding accommodation for public officials. How should that issue of accommodation for public officials be handled to prevent such sad spectacle?
It is a simple thing. When somebody is resigning or retiring, you give him or her 3 months to pack out. Then you give the next person 3 months to come in. And you ask an independent body to come and look. What is it necessary to renovate this place? Is the house habitable? If it is not habitable, what requires to be done? An independent person decides what requires to be done. We have the public procurement process. You look for a contractor to come and do that is willing and available, has the capacity to renovate the house in 3 months for you to come in.
You are the executive director of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim.
The Ghana Football Association, GFA, has officially written to Kwesi Appiah to terminate his 26-month-old contract as coach of the Black Stars. The letter formally thanked Appiah for what the GFA says is his diligent work, but did not contain reasons for the termination of his contract, which was expected to end on August 31, 2016. The letter, however, stated that the GFA will use Clause 11 of the contract Appiah signed on May 23 this year to settle the issue of severance package for him. Clause 11 of the contract, which took effect on 1st August this year, is headlined Termination with Notice. It explained that notwithstanding provisions of Clause 9 and 10, either party may terminate the agreement by giving 3 months written notice to each party or in lieu of 3 months salary. Despite initial communication from the GFA suggesting the coach was shown the exit due to his public pronouncements that he did not request a technical advisor, the letter made no such reference. Coach Appiah was dismissed less than 24 hours after leading the Black Stars to defeat the Hawks of Togo 3-2 in an Africa Cup of Nations qualifier in Lomé.
The Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko is to visit the U.S. to seek further support to tackle what he describes as Russian aggression. Mr. Poroshenko will hold talks with President Barack Obama before addressing a joint session of Congress. Ukraine accuses Russia of supporting rebels in parts of the country, a situation Moscow denies.
Scots have begun voting in a historic referendum to decide whether the territory should continue to remain in the United Kingdom or secede to become an independent country, assuming national statehood just as all countries. Already exit polls indicate it will be too close to call. In this write-up, William Hyer traces the clamour of Scottish nationalists for statehood and the likely impact, whichever the outcome, on the UK.
For many people south of the Scottish-English border, the idea that Scotland might leave the UK has come as a shock, but it has been decades, even centuries, in the making. Truth is that courts have always felt treated as second rate in the United Kingdom, which encompasses England, Wales, Northern Ireland, and Scotland. This composition is under Queen Elizabeth. Courts throughout the ages have always felt different from their southern neighbor. Throughout the Middle Ages, Scotland and England fought skirmishes and wars. Historians posit that Britain, as the UK is otherwise called, is a relatively recent development. England and Scotland have shared the same monarch since 1603. Political union came a century later in 1707. In the eyes of many, the union worked. It could be said that for almost three centuries, Britain was a global success story, carving out a vast empire. Scots were among the leading players as colonialists, soldiers, administrators, engineers, and intellectuals. The 18th century Scottish Enlightenment produced thinkers such as economist Adam Smith, philosopher David Hume, and poet Robert Burns. According to the British Office of National Statistics, Scotland's contribution to the Union in the areas of public administration, education, health, wholesale and trade, real estate, finance and insurance, construction, science and technology are enormous. 8 significant oil and gas resources, shipbuilding, manufacturing and intellectual power propelled the empire. For many Scots, their junior status in the Union is an anathema that must be erased physically.
William Hyer with a write-up on the historic referendum on Scottish independence from Great Britain. To end the news, the main points again. Engineers kick against construction of asphalt plant by Brazilian company working on Kwame Nkrumah Circle interchange on health grounds. And Ghana Health Service begins nationwide polio immunization today. The news was presented by Mercy Soa
and Doreen Ampofina-Kwa.